I too extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. You know, after sitting here and listening to the singing, to the devotional, to the other message, I think we've fully enough. I'll try to add a little bit on top, but it's a lot. If we can take it home and apply it to our lives, I think it would change. And we want to do that, but we're going to strive to dig more into the Word of God. I extend greetings as well from the Cornerstone Congregation. Welcome you up there to visit us and to worship with us sometime, if the Lord sees fit. We've had a few of you up there, and we enjoyed it, and we welcome you back as well. Well, we have the theme of this weekend, the Christian home, and the title that was given to me, Enabling the Church, especially, and our brother mentioned that already, but I pondered this title for a long time, trying to think of how to go about it. Where do you turn in Scripture to pull a message together for this? Well, we know the Christian home, God established the home. The marriage bond, the children are born to it. They're born into this world. They've been given life. Each and every one of us have been given life through the natural birthing process, whether it's through C-section or however, but it's through the way God has designed it and planned it. I thought of the song, Our God, He is Alive, and verse 3 says, secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within His hand. Though man may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. And so we recognize that God is the giver of life. He puts each and every one of us in a Christian home, or in a home, I should say. Now, the reason I'm going to start there is because children grow up. They get married. They have homes of their own. Children come to those homes, and it starts a cycle over again. Homes are replenished. God gives life. He brings children to this life. Each and every one of you children, or adults, wherever you place yourself, was placed in a home sometime. Now in our world today, there's many broken homes. And it's sad when it happens that way. But the homes we were placed in, we didn't have a choice in it. God chose where He's going to place you in a home. The Smith family, the Smith name, is a name that is because my father was placed in a foster home. Because his parents were drunkards, they couldn't support the family. Did my dad have a choice in which home he was put into? No. Same as each and every one of us don't have a choice of where we were placed in life. But God gave my father a choice to make. And he chose right. And I'm thankful for that. Each and every one of us here this morning have to make that choice as to whether we're going to choose right or not. You see, the church is not something that, yes, there is what we call the new birth. You Bible scholars know. We have the new birth experience. And so we're born into the church. But you see, we have a choice of whether we're going to be born into that church or not. It is a free choice of each and every one of us if we are going to be part of this new birth experience. And if we're going to be part of the church, that's a free choice. And so the title that we are looking at, The Christian Home, Enabling the Church, you see that's a choice that we make. As youth children come up to youth in a cage of accountability, they make that choice as to whether they're going to serve God and have the new birth experience and to be part of the kingdom of God, or if they're not going to be. It's a voluntary choice. Well, we have that word in our title, enabling. You see, God placed children in a home setting. If the home is functional, fathers and mothers, Brother Jesse talked a lot to fathers and mothers about guarding our children and to teach them right and to bring them upright. And so the same is true here for this title, or for this message this morning, as I think about enabling our children, or enabling the church. It takes our children, us as parents need to enable our children to help the church to go on. Our children each have to catch the vision of the church for it to go on. Fathers and mothers, as I look at children catching the vision, it oftentimes our children catch the vision of what the parents have. And so that makes it very sobering, because what is my vision? What is my goals? Is it to serve the church? Or is it to look on the outside like we're serving the church, but we're dabbling in the world, in the fun of the world? The children see through it. What are our real priorities? They see it. And so we're going to go into that. And think about some things of what is needed to enable the church today. And I've chosen this account that in 1 Samuel. You can turn your Bibles to that. 1 Samuel chapter 2, we are probably going to read most of that book. I'm going to run out of time. Well, we'll do what we can here. As I thought about this, this is an account where it talks about a young man. A young man that is just weaned from his mother. But the vision started way before that. And we know this account. This is the account of Elkanah and Hannah as Samuel was born into this world. And we have this parenting process that's going on here. We have in chapter 1, just to maybe bring it down a little bit, Hannah had prayed for a child. And she made this statement. And verse 11 of chapter 1 is where her statement is. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the infliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And this woman was in distress. She had no children, and she wanted children so bad. And she made this vow, and God granted that. And let's start reading in verse 24 of chapter 1. "And when she had weaned him, Samuel was born, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." And that's a good prayer there. Let's skip on down though. Verse 11. "And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, a priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of 3 teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came hither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, 'Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man say unto him, let him not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, Nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother brought him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice.'" And we have the Lord then giving a warning to Eli for what his sons were doing. And that son, it was pronounced that Eli was going to, the priesthood was going to be pulled from Eli. And God's going to raise him up, a faithful priest. Paraphrasing it very, very much, but I believe as Bible scholars, you know the account well. And children, you know that chapter 3, as it follows that, is that account where the Lord comes to Samuel and the statement, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And so this is the account of where we're going to pull these thoughts from this morning. And we're going to think about, and children, or the Christian home, enabling the church as children are brought into the home and they make the choice to serve God, how much it can help the church. And so what is needed to enable the church today? Us as fathers and mothers especially, we're going to look at that. We know the words that is said many times, more is caught than taught. And I just want to highlight that as we, and you think about that as we go through this message. Our children catch more than what your words say. There's so much caught. You can say the right things, but if in your heart you are not convinced of it yourself, and if you are not living that out in your own personal victory, the children catch it. Children catch it. And so we, as we go through here, what did Hannah and Elkanah do that enabled Samuel to be such a leader and blessing to God's people, the children of Israel? Because this is the account. Eli had failed, his sons had failed, and God said, "I'm going to raise up somebody else. It's not going to be in your family line anymore." And here comes this woman, Hannah, that had asked for a son from the Lord, and God gave it to her, and she's lending him to the Lord, or giving him back to the Lord. Parents, how many of you would take your child at a young age? Set him in an influence like that. Live 14 miles away, 14 or 15 miles away. Only see him one time a year. That's what Hannah and Elkanah did for Samuel. Let's pull some verses out of here. To enable the church today, the first point I have, it starts with a relationship with the Almighty God of heaven and earth. Verse 12 of chapter 2. We read that verse, I believe. As we think of the sons of Eli, they knew not the Lord. Those are the people that were supposed to be the Lord over the Lord's house. Now go down to verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Verse 26, and the child Samuel grew and was in favor with the Lord and also with men. How did he do it? This young boy, placed there in Israel, under the influence of Eli's 2 sons that made Israel to sin. Well, it starts with a relationship with the Almighty God of heaven and earth. That's for us today. It's that new birth experience that I talked about already. Because God is the one that builds the church and he enables it to be victorious. It's not man's doing that builds the church, it's God. And so we must start with a relationship with the Almighty God of heaven and earth. And our children can see that new birth experience within us. They want that change of heart too. They see the old nature that comes out when you are left to themselves. And they want something different. When we have that change of heart and are part of the church, we have a desire to be gathered together. We want to put effort into what we desire to see, and we desire to see the church grow and prosper. Fathers and mothers, as we put effort in the work of raising a family, We need to be those that rely on the Lord God for strength and have our relationship with the Almighty God of heaven and earth and pass that on to our children somehow, that vision of a relationship with the Almighty God of heaven And when that's in place, and when that's in foot, is a relationship that's close with the God of heaven, it will help your children to be want to be part of that church and to pull in and enabling them to enable the church and help the church to grow. The second one I have. What is needed to enable a church today? It needs self to be sacrificed. The old nature that is born within us. Each one of you children are born with that nature. And, you know, it don't take long at all. That child's bouncing around and can be a show-off, you know, wants the attention. Sometime you as parents are going to have to deal with that. Sometime you're going to have to realize and teach to that child that there's something in their life that says it's me. It's about me. And I want the attention. I want self. I want everybody to look out for my needs and wants. We see that in children. The old nature is selfish and greedy, and if left unchecked, it would destroy relationships. Anyone it comes in contact with ultimately would destroy the individual as well. But I think about that when I think about this story here. Here we have Eli's two sons. What were they? What were they? The old nature had taken over. Somehow Eli did not weed the old nature out. They didn't see the vision of serving God as they ought to, but they were doing their outside rituals of it. But inwardly there was selfishness, there was greed that was left unchecked. It says in this passage that were sons of Belial, men of base character. They were selfish. They'd force the people to what they wanted. Fathers and mothers, your children are born with the same nature with them in them. It is your responsibility to guide these children God has given to you, to help them to learn at a young age self-control, to realize life is not all about me and what I can get. And so we need to be enabling the church in that way. Now let's think about Hannah. Do you think it was easy? I maybe touched a little bit on this already, but do you think it was easy for Hannah to leave her son Samuel in this place? We know a mother's heart enough. We know a father as he's a caretaker and wanting to see the best and guard his family. It looked like a wrong place to place a son to be raised. I don't believe it was easy for Hannah to do it. And I don't believe you heard from Hannah that, pity me, look what I had to sacrifice. Elkanah's other wives didn't have to give up of a son. Now, I believe she willingly gave. You see, it wasn't about her anymore. She had learned in her own life. It wasn't about her anymore. She had that relationship with the Lord God, and she had made a promise to him, and she was going to keep that promise. What's needed as we think about giving up a self and maintaining true to our promises? We must do the same as what Hannah did here. And realize it's not about me anymore. It's about God and His plan for the church. And His plan for my children to be part of the church. And live my life right and to strive to teach my family as they ought to. And trust that the vision is caught. The third one I have. What is needed to enable the church today? And that is to gather to worship. I think in my own life sometimes we get busy. There's so much to do. And a lot of times it's our own fault that our schedules are so full. How easy is it to skip church can I just say it the way I feel about it? Selfish reasons? Maybe for a little more of that money that we can pile up here? Schedules get full. We get busy. But who takes first place in my life? it burdens me when I look at, I don't know these congregations here, what your Wednesday evening attendance is. But it burdens me when I look at Wednesday evening attendance in the church I'm part of. There's been times when I haven't been there, and I step on my own toes when I say it. How easy is it to skip Wednesday evening service? How easy. What is our vision for the church? Who takes first place? Maybe it's Sunday morning worship service. What value do you place on gathering together? You see, our children know who and what is most important to us. And it's some of these subtle ways that they know it. I don't think Samuel had to question it. If we go to chapter 1 here in verse 3, it says that they came yearly to worship and to sacrifice. This was the way they did it in the old days there, before the New Testament. It was once a year they were commanded to go, and they went. It was important to them. Samuel came along. Chapter 2, verse 19. He's serving with Eli there. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him year to year when they came with her husband to the yearly sacrifice. You see, worship was important. Being there was important. Not just because Samuel was there. That was probably part of it. But it was more than that. It was her relationship with the God of heaven. To gather to worship. They even gathered to worship when the worship was becoming loathsome to the people because of what Eli's sons were doing. Even when the church wasn't quite as fun to go to church, or there's maybe a little rift between relationships, she still would have went to church. How committed are we to church attendance? What value do you place on gathering together? The fourth one is prayer. We didn't read all this account, but what is needed to enable the church today is prayer. To help the church go on, to continue on. You know, Hannah prayed for a son. She knew where to go to bring her request, bring her petitions. That was prayer. And then we have, after Samuel was born, we have Hannah's prayer in the first part of chapter 2. We read just the first verse of that a little bit. Prayer. I challenge each and every one of us. When's the last time you prayed for your children? I don't believe Hannah ever ceased praying for Samuel. A mother that left her son as a young child in the temple there, where these priests were wicked men of Belial. It had to have an effect on Samuel's life. And then to top it all off for Hannah and Samuel here, your mother brings you up telling you you're not to cut your hair because of some vow she has made when she was praying to God before you're born. How absurd does that sound to youth today, or to young children today? I believe she prayed that Samuel would be faithful to that vow that she had made. Well, praying parents today, that's what's needed to enable the church, to help the church to go on. Praying for your children, praying for the church, it will go a long ways in helping your focus and where you're going, what's important to you. Pray for children when they're little. Pray for them through the teenage years. Pray for them through the 20s, 30s, 40s, and on. As long as God gives you life, pray for them. You can even pray that they'd be of use in God's kingdom. Well, the fifth one I have and the last one I have. This is, what time am I supposed to be done, Keith? 12 o'clock, is that when lunch is? Okay, I'll... The last one I have, child training with a vision. What is needed to enable the church today? We need fathers and mothers that train children with a vision. And we've been touching some on this. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And so, as I look at this, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, we have this child Samuel. And the training started way back, I believe, before he was weaned, but before, even up through as he ministered to before the Lord. He ministered before the Lord, and what happened? There was being a child was girded with a linen ephod. Did you catch the training that was going into it? You see, his mother Hannah had a vision for this boy. And that vision was to be a priest, to be the one of those to serve in the temple. And those that served in the temple had the linen ephod around them. And here are the big, you know, probably the ones Eli and Hophni and Phinehas used were too big. Well, let's make a small one for Samuel. She put him to work, and she gave him what he needed to put him into the work at a young age. And she planted that seed in his life, teaching him at a young age of where to go, what was expected of him. You see, that a young age is an impressionable age, and she impressed on him what was expected of him. The same is true for us as fathers and mothers today. We somehow can't expect to let our children dress how they want to let them have loose, open, whatever they want to do, and then somehow expect at the age of accountability that it's all going to change. It doesn't happen. How do we dress and present our young children that sit on our laps? Does it matter or doesn't it? It mattered to Hannah. He wasn't dressed in the fashion of the other Israelite boys. He was called to more. Let's move on. Training children with a vision. What about authority in his life? We don't see Samuel rebelling against the vow his mother had made with his long hair. No. In fact, you go to chapter 3, and when Eli called him, he responded immediately. And when later on in chapter 3, when Eli told him to tell him all that the Lord had spoken, he told him, even when it's hard to tell. The words were hard to share. And so the challenge to us is, how do our children relate to authority? To our authority. You see, how they relate to your authority as a parent is oftentimes an indication of how they're going to relate in enabling the church to move on. Are they going to be there? Are they going to be responding to the authority that God places in their life? Or aren't they? What about obedience or disobedience? In the life of Eli and his two sons, disobedience carried into the work of the church, the children of Israel. Disobedience in the home will carry on. and cause disobedience. Now there's redemption. There's a man can change, a man and woman can change with God's help. But we make it hard. We make it hard for them to wade through that. Also think about negativity. I'd like to put that in here. Child training with a vision. Negativity. There was a lot of negativity that Hannah could have fed to her son. She could have fed it to Samuel. You know, Eli and his two sons don't do like they do over there. I mean, they're wickedly. And she might have subtly gave warnings about that. I don't know. But I don't think that if she had fed disrespect, negativity to Samuel, that he could have been such a positive person. If we find ourselves as a negative person, it will feed into our children, and it will ultimately feed into church life. What are we going to enable the church with? Well, if you feed negativity into church life, you will get negativity out. There's a good chance that your children will choose not to be part of the church because of it. That might be a strong statement. But in my few years, I pondered that thought. People with heart broken because their children choose wrong. And I know it's not always that. Not here if you find yourself in that, where your children have chosen not to be part of the church, that it's somehow all your fault. I don't want to come across that way. But we need to evaluate our lives, young parents, as we raise our children. What we feed in is what often comes out. Well, concluding thought. I have two questions. What is my vision for the church? What is it? Is it enabling the church? And the second question is this. What is it producing in my children? Are we enabling the church to move forward? The church will be victorious. God does the enabling. God builds the church. It's just whether our children and whether we're going to be part of it. That's a sobering question. And God bless.